On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Second and 11 from the 1 yard line. Mark Sanchez over the middle. It is intercepted, and walking in for a touchdown is the safety Curtis Riley. And the Giants on the board first. The pick six by Riley. It couldn't have been any easier. First and 10, Giants hand off to Barkley. Open field 30. Look out to the 40. The 45 to the 30. Nobody's going to catch him. Saquon Barkley is going to take it all the way. 78 yards for a touchdown. Second and 8 at the 11. Manning rolling to the right. Fires at the goal line. Caught and in for a touchdown is Russell Shepard as the Giants make it 40 to nothing.
Just a terrible, terrible, embarrassing, bad, awful effort from the Redskins, particularly in the first half of an embarrassing home loss at FedEx Field. I think they were down 40 to nothing. 40 to nothing. Let that sink in. 3 weeks ago, this team was 6-3 and two games clear in the NFC East. And today, on Sunday, they were down 40 to nothing to the New York Giants that were playing without Odell Beckham. They gave up something like 150 rush yards in the first half to Saquon Barkley. Saquon had 14 carries for 170 yards. One more time, 14 carries for 170 yards. Was there a glimmer? Did the game finish a little bit differently than 80% of it was played? Sure. And we'll get to that. But an embarrassing, embarrassing, embarrassing loss for the Washington Redskins. This is JP Finley. This is Redskins Talk, brought to you by Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We're here in the secret location in FedEx Field. Pete's here. Mitch is here. Fellas, any other adjectives?
Atrocious.
You looked up awful synonyms on Google, so that is an indication of how this game went.
In 11 seasons of covering this team, the Monday Night Massacre was the gold standard of embarrassing games. And even that game was only 31-0 at halftime. Today was 34-0 at halftime. 10 carries for 159 yards for Saquon Barkley at halftime. And honestly, it could have been more.
Whatever has happened with this run defense is just a mess. And
it's weird.
Because everyone deserves blame. Players, coaches.
Yeah. It's a mess up front. It's a mess in the middle layer. And it's a mess on the back end.
And it's crazy.
The whole thing has gone off the rails.
It's the same personnel. And it just switched like 5 weeks ago.
Haha's different.
I don't think
that's the difference.
But yeah.
But he's been bad.
Oh, his angles are just atrocious.
Today was
each game is worse.
Yeah.
They're 0-4 since he got here. He's not the main reason, but he's definitely not helping.
He was here when they won in Tampa.
Correct. They are not good with Ha-Ha Twins.
Pete Stats coming in hot.
All right,
that's a good start for Pete today.
Yeah, damn it.
Josh Johnson was pretty good when he came in. Is it too early for that?
Yeah, yes. It's too early.
Okay.
Way too early.
I'm running out of words, dude. I'm running out of words to describe this shit. And a podcast is based on words.
It is.
So email me some words, or you go.
Let's talk about some of the individual bad performances.
No, let's not yet.
you just want
to... I mean, because you want to go to GOATs. I guess there's more things to discuss. I think DJ Swearinger wants to call out the coaches. The coaching staff wants to call out the players. I mean, Jay Gruden said earlier this week that there were players that were griping about being in pads and going longer during the week when you're working out, all these new players.
You had to have Trent and AP and whoever else stand up and address the team about it. Like, you guys are 6-6. You've lost three straight. Like, you haven't played well. You haven't looked good. And yet somehow you still are semi in the playoff mix. And you're going to sit there and complain about practice?
You lost three straight coming into this one.
Right. I'm saying they lost three straight.
Right.
They're still somehow in the playoff.
Right.
They still were somehow in the playoff mix. And you're going to sit there and there are going to be players that are going to gripe about practicing in pads one time in December?
Yeah, I get.
Like, get out of here.
I get that the injuries are crazy and you're on your third quarterback, but you're 6-6. You had an outside shot at the playoffs. You had a somewhat juicy looking schedule coming up, and you go down 40 points at home. It's a black eye for the entire organization.
The defense was all right early. They got a couple stops, and then everything swung. The Giants were able to get a few first downs. Good punt from their punter pins the Redskins deep. Pete and I looked at each other in the press box when Sanchez was starting that drive from his own three, and it's like, oh, hell.
Yeah,
what's going to happen here?
I said, if this ends in a touchdown, I'll give you $10, JP. And it did end in a touchdown, but not for the Redskins. So I
think
you
should still collect the $10.
You should.
You didn't clarify that.
Okay, well, that was the first sign. And yet, I know the defense has been kind of saying, oh, we're getting put in these bad spots, backed up on our own goal line, and that's certainly an issue with the offense, but both sides of the ball were disgraceful today.
I mean, that...
Yep.
Starting the ball at your own three with your third-string quarterback who's been in the system for 2 weeks, turn around and hand the ball off to AP three times, get a little room, punt, and see if he can't do something.
Somehow Sanchez looked worse today after a week of practice. He looked really skittish in the pocket. Philadelphia Mark Sanchez was
early
better
on,
than New York Mark Sanchez.
There were a couple drops that hurt him.
Yeah, but...
But I'm not in the making excuses for Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
His line was 6 of 14 for 38 yards, 2 interceptions. Mitt, I don't even know how to set an over-under for this. Do you know what his QB rating was?
I think I saw it.
What do you think it was?
7.1.
It's double digits. How dare you?
10.7.
Oh, maybe his QBR was 7.1.
Yeah, that might have been it, like, in the first half. It was, like, real bad at one point.
I mean, he couldn't even throw the ball past line of scrimmage without getting tipped by four guys.
You know who else stinks while we're talking quarterbacks? Kyle Laletta.
Oof. Rough.
And that was a guy that, you know, we all kind of kicked the tires on. Nice guy, and maybe he'll get better over time.
Did you just drop a kick the tires on Kyle Laletta?
What was worse in the first half, the offense or the defense?
I think the defense. I think the offense was bad, but at least it seemed to start off in a solid direction. Maybe I mean he had the two drops on the first drive, and I don't know, man. It all was terrible.
I think it was defense. I mean,
I think it's the defense still too, but it was just terrible.
Eli had 200 yards passing and three touchdowns and didn't play the fourth quarter.
And he's been garbage this year for the
most part.
He also was kind of garbage. Like,
they didn't have Odell Beckham. We haven't even talked about that. The Giants put up 40 without Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
How about the first first touchdown was the pass into the corner of the end zone from the 5-yard line?
Ball.
And there was no one within 10 yards of the
there was some offensive pass interference. That got shoved off big time.
Fine.
Shit happens.
I was kind of looking at the defense.
Like, shit's happened a lot this year.
Shit happens is the 2018.
On those crossing passes.
Right.
Those crossing passes.
Shit happens is the 2018 motto. I was looking at the defense after each touchdown, and I know, like, whether they're slamming their helmets or not isn't going to make a big difference, but they just didn't even seem like to be upset or fired up. They just kind of shrugged their shoulders and all just trotted off. Like, it didn't look like there was a lot of fight or a lot of energy. It was a very weird vibe from them.
I will only take exception. There are players that come off fiery as hell.
Yeah.
And then there are players that trot off and shrug their shoulders.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's part of what the problem is on defense, is that you don't have 11 guys that are fiery as hell. And
I also wonder, dude, because things happened a little bit more. There seemed to be some excitement once Johnson went in the game. Part of me wonders if they were just like, man, we're not going to win with Mark Sanchez out there. His reputation is so damaged.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I feel bad. We were at the podcast party last week, and, like, fans care and ask me what is going on, and I want to have an answer for y'all. I swear I want to have an answer. I just don't. And the conversation now is going to turn to, you know, is Jay Gruden going to get fired? He got asked if he feels his job's in jeopardy, and I think he was honest. He said, my job's in jeopardy every week. And a lot of that is coach speak, especially in October when you're 5-2 and you say that. But 6-7, lost 4 straight. I think that's starting to become real.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he feels it.
He feels it, especially at halftime of that game. You had to feel it. I think Minuski, because here's the thing. Like, this is coordinator firing season. Like, you've already, Carolina made some big changes. Teams are going to start doing that. It's not a rash decision at this point if the Skins were to make a move with a coordinator.
It's also not a very Skinsy move.
They typically don't do that.
They typically don't make a whole lot of moves during the season. So those of you that are calling for firings left, right, and center tomorrow.
Remember this. The end of the 2013 season, when every Sunday there was a nuclear bomb dropped between the Shanahan and Griffin camps, nobody got fired till the end of the year. Like, and that was as ugly as things had ever played out, maybe around the league.
A member of the Redskins staff came up to me in postgame, and he goes,
this was in 13?
No, today.
Okay.
And was like, hey, at least it's not as bad as it was with Shanahan. And I was like, we still have 3 more weeks. Like, yet. It's yet.
Right.
Like,
now, if this defense goes down there and gives up 30 to the Jaguars, who are terrible,
yeah,
different conversation.
Yeah, we thought the last 3 games of last year were meaningless. And when we were looking at the quarterback abyss, these next 3 games are going to be juiceless. And the one thing we always talk about with Jay, or one of the things is, hey, at least, you know, his players don't give up on him. And they come out and they fight and they show effort. This is going to be a big test for him. And whether
the players
true.
Said they saw that today, though, that they were still playing hard in that second half. I don't know. Pete rolled his eyes. I'm guessing Pete doesn't believe that.
No, I mean, I'm not questioning. At a certain, I know questioning effort's an easy thing to do.
Hell, I'll go there. I don't think there was a lot of fight.
I think there was more fight in the fourth quarter than there was in the first quarter.
I think they got a little excited. They got a little energy going, a little excitement when Josh Johnson came in. But it's not like it was intrinsic. It was
right,
the dude started moving the ball a little bit, and they hadn't seen the ball move all damn day.
Yeah, if they're looking for a spark from Josh Johnson, then that's a massive problem and just an indicator of where things are, I guess.
I think we talk about it from time to time in pregame and whatnot, you know, the way that the team takes the field and they go through warmups. And there have been times this year, and there are times, that it's super lackadaisical.
Players were mad that they were forced to wear pads on a Thursday.
Right.
Like, that's what the hell are we talking about?
We should
about?
Keep going back to that, because that's the story of the week. That's the story of the season, this season. You have 2 brand new quarterbacks in that you have to try and teach the offense to.
Not to mention 2 new guards.
Right.
I mean,
two tackles that are trying to play guard.
Right.
Like,
which that experiment did not go through.
Having to wear pads?
And all the time they talk about, oh, our practices weren't intense enough, aren't good enough. And now you're getting an intense Thursday practice and you push back on that. It doesn't add up.
It's today was the first time it really started to feel like everything's falling apart.
Yeah.
Because all along here, like, you lose Alex, Colt plays okay in Dallas, there's 5 bad minutes. But you could, that Dallas game, you're like, oh, man, you know, this Cowboys defense is starting to really play well. Skins were kind of in it. You go to Philly, feel like there's a chance. Colt breaks his leg, you're like, oh, hell. And then today, I mean, how many people were here, dude? I mean, nobody was here. It seemed like the whole football world is kind of thinks the Skins are done now, and I think the team reflected that in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think this week you heard guys in the locker room talk about how they notice that there are fewer cameras around, fewer reporters around. I mean,
they're about to notice.
Not in the locker room. The I'm going to blast our fellow media members, like. The horde of people in there that are just so desperate for the first soundbite, and you end up with 35 cameras surrounding Greg Stroman because he's the first guy to put his shirt on. Yep. And for our listeners that don't know, you can't talk to a player until he's dressed and has his shirt on. Take a deep breath, people.
I agree. What I was saying was during the week on Wednesdays and Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever days were there.
The only big crowd in the last month was Reuben Foster.
Yeah, right.
And dude, players. That's endemic of the bigger issues going on with this franchise. We can talk about the nobody's here in the stands. No media out there is part of it too, man. Like, something's got to give here if you want to talk about this organization being what it was. Because right now, it isn't. And I wrote about RFK Stadium, and that would be terrific. But that's a lot of years away, even if it happens. Right. And it's a big if.
It's a huge if, and it would be a short-term boost for a long-term gain. But there's four, five, six, 7 years before RFK would even happen.
Dude, 2027, 9 years.
9 years. Sorry, my math is off. And the fact I'm the math guy.
You might not have known the lease. That I thought you just didn't know the exact terms of the lease. That
I didn't. I thought they could get out early. But anyway,
if they stay in PG County, I've been told they could get out early.
Gotcha. Okay.
But going
whatever. This is all getting. But I mean,
this team in any stadium, no matter where the hell you put this team right now, it's not going to matter. JP's just sitting with his hand in his on his head.
You just run out of speechless. Effing words.
Right, like what do you what like? Yeah, you.
They were down 40-0 to the Giants.
40-0 to the 4-8 Giants. Now, and let's not knock the Giants too much. They've been playing much better football. They just beat the Bears. They've won 3 of their last 4. Hell, now they've won 4 of their last 5. But like something happened, and.
Yeah, there's no NFL team.
Like, I think we all got some working theories going, but.
Yeah. There was a turning point somewhere at week 10, I guess it was, 8, 9, 10, where.
They won those games. But, dude, even when they went on the 3-game win streak and got to sit, you know what I mean?
We knew it was flawed.
We said this still might be fool's gold because the offense couldn't score enough. Defense was playing bend, don't break.
It was fragile.
All right.
Now it's totally broken.
We're just sitting here screaming. Do we want to go to game balls? There's not going to be a lot of them. I can't wait
for Pete's inanimate game ball today.
There's a lot of goats. I'm ready to go there. Before we go.
We haven't said Orsman at all. Hey, Bob.
Yes, we have. And I was about to do it.
Sorry. Not my best.
Pete is batting the hungover Pete. Yeah. New apartment Pete can't handle his first day at work.
DC Pete is not DC doing well. It's almost like his first day down in Richmond.
It is. It's actually quite similar.
No, it's not.
You over-partied and couldn't produce, and you're kind of.
Okay.
Are you disagreeing?
No. I mean,
in Richmond, you were hidden because there was no podcast, and you didn't have to write a whole lot. Today,
This is halftime. I'm going to make some adjustments and come out strong.
You're going to be Josh Johnson?
Yep. I'm the spark this podcast needs coming out.
Oh, boy. I want to thank the good folks, Orsman Automotive of Virginia. Go check out Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. I rode in a Dodge Durango to the USO Walter Reed thing we went to, the Wounded Warrior thing, the Christmas party.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Dodge Durangos are pretty cool. Go buy a Dodge Durango from my boy High over at Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. They're a cool car. How about that? All right.
Durango.
Not going to be a lot of game balls. I will start, and I'm giving one to Josh Johnson. I think I took it.
Well, great.
He was good, man. He 11 of 16, 195, a touchdown. He threw the pick late at the goal line, which would have been another score. I think he was just trying to make plays at that point.
I think we need to reemphasize this guy got here on Tuesday.
Right.
Like, that's insane.
He also ran 7 times for 45 yards and a touchdown, completed two-point conversions. Messed up Mitch's elaborate bet. Sorry, bud.
Wow.
What? We got secrets on the pod now?
No, not really.
This is full transparency. This is the era of honesty, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Era of spoken honesty.
Yeah, the best thing from Josh Johnson was during his group session, he said he had to go on Madden when they signed him. He went and played Madden so he could learn the names of the players that were on the team. Amazing. Amazing. And kind of a cool little new age thing.
Yeah. New age. All right. Josh Johnson, you're up, Mitch. Nothing? Mitch shakes his head. Pete?
I got a special one, but not football related. So
I was just going to say the Redskins fans who stayed the entire game. That's about all I can think of.
Yeah, that's fair.
Besides that, there are no other players deserving of any sort of positive recognition.
What about Crowder? It was a big play. But he also had a couple bad drops. I don't know about
Sanchez
bad drops, but he had some drops.
He dropped was a kind of a bad throw. But, yes, that drop over the middle deep was a problem.
He had a drop that would have picked them up a first down early.
Which that sucks because that's kind of the most.
I mean, it's nice to see it for the kid.
That was like the most explosive play. That one of the most explosive plays they've had this year.
I mean, he had a 79-yard touchdown catch. That was all. He showed speed too. I didn't know he had the sideline.
Yeah. Had that pull away speed. Yeah, I'll give him a hat tip.
Hat? You voting ball or hat tip?
I give half ball.
Half ball. All right.
Half ball. Is that more or less than a hat tip?
I think that's more than a hat tip.
Okay.
Gotcha. He gets more than a hat tip.
More than a hat tip, but I don't know if he gets a full game ball.
Mark Perina gets a game ball for making some delicious steaks for us in the parking lot.
I'm not fed for the next
episode. His wife, Caitlin, was very – his fiance, Caitlin, was very nice. That was great. I enjoyed that.
Probably the highlight of the
day. They gave Pete extra. That was the highlight of the day.
Pete sort of groveled, but they gave Pete three half-cooked steaks – so that when he took it home, all he had to do was put it in the oven and bake it for a little bit.
The best treatment ever. Those steaks are now sitting under my car.
All right, let's get to goats. Enough about Pete's steaks.
One more game ball.
Want to give the last game ball?
Sure. Do it.
To our girl, Washington Redskins cheerleader, Stephanie, who...
WRC Steph.
WRC Steph.
What'd she
dedicated podcast listener, sang the national anthem and kind of killed it. Kind of killed it.
She killed it.
Finished really strong, too.
She said it was the first time that she's done it at a professional game. She used to do it in high school and college all the time. Pretty daunting experience, and it was pretty cool. Awesome job, Steph.
Well done, Steph.
So, speaking of performing on the field today, you know, I go down there and do that halftime hit on the Jumbotron.
Perform on the field.
I don't know about performing, but I go down there. You know, talking in front of a stadium's intimidating. I talked with the Redskins production staff and was like, look, guys, there's nothing I can say that you want to be said at halftime of this game. And they agreed, and we didn't do that hit. And I think I applaud them for getting it, and there was nothing I was going to say that...
Yeah, you don't force that one.
Yeah, dude. Especially at halftime.
There was nothing to be said.
Nothing good. Nothing without a curse word in it. All right, that's it for game balls, right? Nothing else?
Yeah, I'm over the game balls.
Tress punted a bunch, but he didn't dominate like he has. He wasn't put in a position to, really, but...
Yeah, I mean...
Nothing stands out.
Yeah.
All right, goats. I'll start. Mark Sanchez, two interceptions, pick six, just wasn't good. I wrote this in my observations. He wasn't good, and I don't know how there was an expectation for him to be good.
It felt like he started out okay, and then when it went south,
He was okay for like six plays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And then he got happy feet in the pocket and couldn't throw a ball and – double pumped left and right. That got ugly.
It was bad. All right, you're up.
Clinton Dix. That was in four games of poor performance from Haha. Today was extremely bad. The 79-yard touchdown run from Saquon Barkley as a single safety back there. How the hell you get sucked up inside and then beat the way that he was is unconscionable. I mean,
it's abomination.
He's not quite fast enough. Doesn't quite take good enough angles. Like, he's just not quite good enough.
Yeah, the Miami Dolphins touchdown that everyone's talking about. Gronkowski took a better angle than Ha Clint Dix did. That he's just. It's been a very weird trade.
Yeah, I'm glad you can take the most popular Twitter joke from today.
Yeah, and Pete just forcing
rehash
jokes.
Rehash it on the pod.
They should.
I thought you were supposed to come out better, Pete.
Yeah, come on, Pete.
At this point, why do they? Should they just bench him? I mean, I know you didn't really like what you saw from Monte.
Play Monte. I don't get it.
Haha's not going to be a part of your plans at this point. You know who you're going to get rid of him. Might as well try and groom the second year.
I want to know what the hell happened with Monte because they refused to play him.
Or maybe give DeShazer Effort a chance. I don't know. Like, Haha's not working, and he's not coming back, so
Haha's let not, him chill. Well, who knows whether he's coming back or not, but Haha's not working. They've clearly come completely sour on Monte. Maybe give Shays a shot.
Who knows? I mean, I kind of think we know what he is, too, but
hell the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Agreed. I'm going to give a goat to Josh Doctson. It wasn't really a taunt.
It was
they called it a taunt, but this is now the second just boneheaded 15-yard penalty he's had in a game where they're getting destroyed. Just not learning, not really taking the next step, being kind of an invisible player week in and week out, not being smart. Just a lot of knots for Josh Doctson, and he is getting a goat for it.
A lot of knots. Morgan Moses, like the false starts, he had a hold. Morgan, I know, is playing hurt, but he has not had a great season, and this was a bad day. You got to be better. It's simple.
Yeah, when there's chaos on the inside, you need your veteran right tackle who's got a big contract to play well, and he's not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, along those same lines, I'm going to go with Austin Howard, man. He was in a tough situation stepping over and trying to play guard.
I'm not sure anybody on the O-line had a good game, honestly.
Oh, no.
No, Rie had
even Trent didn't have a good game.
Rie had the man downfield, and he had a couple – he had a – this is the second or third straight game he's had the
– He had a false start.
The false start slash illegal snap type move. Right. I mean, yeah, I guess across the board they weren't that good. But Luke Bowanko had to come in and replace Austin Howard in the third quarter, I think, or something like that. He was – getting beat badly left and right, and that's a tough situation as a tackle, being asked to slide inside and play guard, especially when you haven't been in the system for that long. But either way, that was a rough performance up front, Morgan and Austin, to me, that right side was the biggest problem of the five.
The mammoth guard's plan sounded good on paper. It did not work very well on the field.
More beef, the better.
Yeah, sometimes less beef is better, I would say.
Never.
Unless it's beef with broccoli and they just load up the broccoli.
Or it's
that drives me crazy.
It's the worst.
Or it's Mark Perina's beef, and it's going to be my dinner for the next 4 days. My next goat.
So weird.
Greg Stroman. There's going to be
on my list.
A 30 for 30 one day about his punt returns in the first quarter.
He shouldn't be playing at all. I know they lost Dunbar, but Stroman has not been good for weeks.
An invalid fair catch. I didn't know that.
Who was inactive? Adonis?
No, Adonis was out there.
Was everybody active on the corners?
Yeah.
Because Dunny was inactive.
Yeah.
No, they moved Dunbar to IR. Keep going, Pete. I'm looking something up.
Invalid fair catch. He bobbled one. He then got run into on the third one.
He fumbled one.
This is something they need to address. They need a dynamic punt returner, especially if your offense is going to be kind of in neutral all the time. I think this offseason they need to try and find somebody to give them a spark. You can't just have a sure-handed Trey Quinn or a slow corner in Stroman. Like, I think that needs to be somewhat of a shopping item.
I think it was also early on. Eli threw a tailor-made pick between the three and the seven.
So he dropped one on the goal line. Yeah. It was kind of when the game – it wasn't early on. It was when they were down by a lot. But, yeah, that was a pick six. He ran the route for the receiver.
I mean, forget pick six.
Pick.
Yeah.
Don't let them score another touchdown.
Yeah.
I don't know who this
– Shaky day. For
gets me. The goat. Why is Marshall active over Bibbs?
I don't know.
What did Marshall do that everybody likes him? Because all Bibbs does – and not even like flash plays. Last week he saved a blocked punt at the last second that would have been a touchdown. Like, Bibbs is a good, heady football player, and I don't understand the infatuation with Byron Marshall. Everybody knows he was the guy that he missed a block that Alex Smith broke his leg on. I don't get it. I do not get it. He looks like me with my shirt off. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Capri Bibbs has just produced the entire year, and he's not really being rewarded for it. And if this team's the meritocracy that Jay Gruden wants it to be, then Capri Bibbs should have been active.
But, yeah, all the corners were active. I think you got to go to Danny Johnson in the punt return game.
Or Jamison Crowder in the punt return game.
Yeah, especially he's healthy, clearly.
Clearly he's healthy.
They just
stop.
And Stroman wasn't really a punt returner. Like, at least get.
No, he was. He was really good in college.
Quinn wasn't. Okay. Well,
this year they've had one 30-yarder from Quinn. Besides that, their longest return is 12 yards. It's a joke.
I'm not worried about getting positive returns. Don't screw up.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the baseline has to change.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to drop. Who did the last one?
That was me.
I kind of did one yelling about Byron Marshall.
A lot of yelling.
So I'm going to go DJ Swearinger. Not filling holes well in the run game, and especially in the pass game, he is trying to undercut every single route of every receiver that he gets matched up on. And the defense has not been getting turnovers like they were at the beginning of the season, which was obviously a huge part of it. And maybe that's him pressing a little bit to try and make a big play or whatever. But he's given up so many damn big plays in the pass game now because he keeps trying to cut. There was a quick slant to Evan Ingram in the first or second quarter that DJ was matched up one-on-one with him. And he tried to undercut it, missed by a mile, and Evan Ingram is running for 35 yards down to the 10-yard line. It's just it's such a killer to not give up the yards that are being given up, make the tackle, and move on. It's the entire defense. We talked about it last week with them trying to strip the ball.
You got it. Right.
All that. Get off the field. Stop trying to do more than your job. Do your job.
Yep. Kerrigan said the individuals aren't doing their job, and it's hurting the collective defense.
Swearinger, this is from our buddy Aaron Oster at the A Oster. Swearinger did a media session. He was asked, what is going on with the defense the last few weeks? Why does it suck? And he said, we just didn't execute. We didn't get the job done. That's the answer they want me to give.
We walked out of the locker room, and we were talking about it, JP, that if you read between those lines.
Doesn't
take much.
Here's another one.
When
he was asked. So Gruden says there is no disconnect between practice and the game.
Yeah, there's a disconnect. We have a quarterback that just got here, and we have two offensive guards we named starter yesterday. So there is a disconnect there. There's three of our starting 11 guys that just got here a little bit ago. So there is a disconnect there.
And Jordan Reed got hurt today, we should add. He never came back in the game after the first quarter. That's a big deal. Jordan Reed's a really good player. But asked about the disconnect between practice and the games, Swearinger just said no comment. Swearinger has been vocal since he's been here for 2 years about this stuff.
He also said today, he said, we have great safeties. We have great linebackers. We have great DBs.
We're
stacked on the D-line.
I think the D-line is worn out.
We're practicing really hard, and yet somehow, it's the most talented defense I've been on.
Yeah.
Somehow,
the results aren't there. And he mentioned chemistry is one reason why.
You got to be able to read between the lines a little bit of what he's trying to say.
Sure.
And I think his frustration, we still have three more weeks, is going to bubble over. This is a little bit of a powder keg waiting to happen.
There is a lot of powder kegging.
I was honestly surprised it didn't get set off in the locker room really today.
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting the worst.
I think those guys are smart and are veterans, Norman, Swearinger, and recognize how close everything is to going.
I also think a 40-16 loss, it's so demoralizing that's not the time that you're not fired up at the end of the game because you've just been beaten down for the better part of 60 minutes. It's going to be a bad loss at the end of the game to Jacksonville or the Titans or the Eagles or something like that, where you're still going to have that adrenaline flowing once you get in the locker room. You haven't been just totally beaten down.
If they have a call at the end where they feel like they should have blitzed and they didn't or something and it leads to a game-winning touchdown, that could be the thing that sets it off.
Yeah, it's the way they got a few scores late and kind of like made it not competitive, but like it didn't look nearly as bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that kind of...
But those scores were... Everybody knows that those scores mean nothing. It was that... When we look back and see 40-16, we really need to think of 40-0 because that's what this game will be remembered as.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
Any other goats?
I don't know who gets a goat for this, but they had 12 men on the field after a timeout.
I just looked at that.
What the hell?
And there was
after
another
a
one.
Timeout.
They got a delay of game after a timeout.
What the hell?
On offense
what kind
or defense?
Of
on offense.
Operation are they running here?
I mean, the 12 men on the field is inexcusable.
Some of that is new quarterback, new linemen.
They also had the 10 men on the field on defense.
Yeah.
When Preston had to run on late, they had to call a timeout. I mean, those are kind of basic things here.
Yeah. Certainly.
Where do we go from here, boys?
We didn't have over-unders. I mean, we kind of did.
Well, we hit the Josh Johnson.
We all hit Josh Johnson.
So that was my best way of telling you I expected Josh Johnson to play.
That was awesome.
Hopefully everybody realized that. If you listen long enough, I think you should probably figure that one out.
We are maybe in
trouble. They had plays ready for Josh Johnson, which tells you plenty.
Maybe on, in trouble on the 0.5 wins over that we took.
What was the other one? Colt snaps?
Head coach moves.
No, Colt
snaps.
No,
we didn't do that. We did Colt snaps.
I think, okay, I think maybe you said we might be touching on. Yeah.
I don't think there's any head coaching moves this week.
Can we do, I think we did a few weeks ago.
Playoff chances?
No.
Zeros.
I wasn't
going
to do
is anybody going chances. Higher than zero?
No. I was going to say.
And good for
heat, heat for Coach Gruden.
Woo. It's hot.
Yeah. 1 to 10. No wiggle room.
1 to 10. No wiggle room. Heat check on Gruden?
Heat check on Gruden.
Pete?
Gruden's seat. Not on Gruden. On the seat.
Pete, go ahead.
It is as hot as the hand warmer Mitch put in my shirt after the game, which
always
was,
making dumb bits.
No, it was pretty burnt. Like, it's he can't really sit on the seat very comfortably. That's how hot it is. Like, you touch it and you're like, holy crap, the seat is hot, not touching.
Is that a number, Pete?
Is that a number, Pete?
It should be 7.5 out of 10.
That was so much easier than.
Yeah, this is not a good Pete pod.
Mitch, what's your number?
Since you're delaying, I'll go.
I'm not delaying. I got it at 8.
I got it. I was going to go 8.25.
Okay.
I think that thing is smoldering.
It's hot, man.
It's smoldering.
It's to me, it's the hottest it's ever been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of people that will say it's a four-string quarterback. It's your eighth guard. There are lots of ways to explain this thing away. But nothing is explaining what's going on defense.
Yeah, there are larger trends in hand. Teams getting blown out, teams not showing prepared, issues with practice, a defense that's never gotten to be legitimate.
Finger pointing. That's when things start to fall apart.
Yeah.
This organization can handle bad Sundays. They've been handling bad Sundays for a while. But when the Wednesdays and Thursdays start to get bad,
yeah,
that's when things start to get bad. And it started with Reuben Foster. That was a bad couple days for the organization. And if the rest of this stuff, if the drama starts coming that players know happens in D.C., like, everybody understands that D.C. can get crazy.
And there's some pretty dramatic players on this team.
Right.
I mean, yeah, there's some guys who have been in the limelight who don't mind saying some things.
Indeed. So
I just don't know how he's going to look at them on practice on Wednesday. I mean,
I hope he damn well puts them in pads on Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah. I just feel like if the players gave that kind of effort on Sunday, how are they going to show up on Wednesday and give serious effort and really pay attention?
I think effort is the wrong thing to point to.
Yeah, I'm not.
Like, they were getting stops early, and then just shit starts snowballing for this team. And then maybe there are effort questions in that second quarter when everything fell apart. But, like, I think there are far more strategic and execution problems. I don't know where you guys are on that.
I got a story idea for one of you guys this week.
Why don't you write it?
Yeah, I'm not much of a writer.
Give me a writing sample.
Just like you're not a math guy.
I nailed it earlier.
You got it earlier. What are the snap counts on the D-line comparatively across the league? Because just as we've looked at the Redskins, we've talked about this before, the D-line has been a rotation for the better part of, you know, the past under Gruden, let's say that. And this year, it's very much not been. I'm curious if those numbers are as high as they seem they are.
As high as we thought they are. I don't know. It's good. We'll find out. I'm ready to call it, unless you guys have anything pertinent. Tell you what, the Gruden interview tomorrow is going to be pretty damn interesting.
It's going to be so bad.
I'm excited for it.
Great.
I mean, listen, like, when things start heating up, like, you never know when you're going to get the nugget. And it gets you a little excited every time you got a chance for it.
I want everybody to know that Mitch wore shorts today. Mm-hmm. It's cold as hell.
It's important to say.
And Mitch
that.
Is wearing shorts.
We're all just chasing Buffalo. I'm enjoying it.
I don't know.
We got two more home games today. Here. One more home game left. So,
all right. Time to go. This is Mitch's suggestion, I'll say, to end this thing. We can kind of talk our way through it. So I'm not sure people are going to recognize this.
Oh, we're going with it.
It's going to be a long December, folks. There's very little reason to believe.
Who is this? I don't even know.
I think this is awkwardly positive, though. He's saying this year will be better than the last. I don't think so.
This year is definitely not better than the last. It is far worse.
This was Mitch's suggestion.
I mean, I don't know.
It's an appropriate title.
Yeah, long December is
what
I was going for.
The days do not go by so fast, though.
Do you know who this is, Pete?
No. Is it... What era? What year is
mid-90s.
This?
Mid-90s.
I was in middle school. I remember buying the CD.
Early to mid-90s. Early to mid-90s.
I was born in the early to mid-90s. JP was in middle school. You remember buying the CD? I can't even come up with like a funny guess to like piss you off. I have no idea.
Courtney Cox is in the video. I didn't realize that.
She has the same initials as the band.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Are you going to say Creedence?
Yeah.
Jeez.
CC. Creedence
is his new guess all the time. All right.
Stone Temple Pilots?
Counting Crows.
I knew you were going to guess. That's your guess. Yeah, Stone Temple Pilots. Counting Crows.
Counting Crows.
Mr. Jones and me.
How do you know that song?
All right. Let's wrap this thing up.
We got to go. It's going to be a long December, folks.
Hang in there.
Strap in. We'll
can.
Be there every step of the way. And who the hell knows what happens next?
Yeah.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Any major change, last thing, any major changes between right now, no, you don't have to turn it off, just turn it down. Any major changes between what happens today, where everyone's gainfully employed, and next Sunday, 1 o'clock in Jacksonville. I say.
You want to do a percentage on Minuski and Gruden?
Percentage on Gruden. I say zero.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say three.
I'll say two.
I was going to say five. Like, yeah, there's some percentage that it's Gruden, but I think we all agree it's probably not.
Minuski.
I'm going to say 25%.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Yeah, I don't think I was quite that high. I was going to go 20, but.
I just think the evidence is so damning, and it's
getting
worse.
The evidence is damning, and
you need to have some sort of, hey, fans, we're trying to fix this, or hey, players, we're trying to make a move here.
Yeah, I mean, and it depends maybe a little bit on, and maybe you guys can tell me I'm wrong, but how much your organization values the word of the players, the words of a guy like DJ Swearinger. Like,
yeah,
they
to keep him? Or to oust him.
To oust him.
I wonder how much of that is directly about Greg and not all the way up.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a long December.
It's going to be a long December. He's a Redskins alumni. There are people in the building that are big fans of Redskins alumni.
There are people in the building... As long as they stay in charge of the building, I don't know that I see many changes.
Yeah, they kind of just like keeping the status quo.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
All right, that's enough of us couching our statements and listening to Counting Crows. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
So long since I've seen the ocean. Guess I should.
Leave it off. contributing as much, missing us a point.
Three and a
half. Yeah.
Long December, folks.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.